everybody, this is Pastor David, and welcome to Take a Knee. You know, eclipses have long been a source of fascination and wonder, often associated with various superstitions and prophecies throughout history. However, from a scientific perspective, an eclipse is a natural phenomenon with no direct impact on human affairs, or at least that's what they tell us. The upcoming total solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024, is generating a whole lot of excitement, and that's due to its expected visibility across North America and the potential for spectacular viewing conditions. So the sun will be near solar maximum, as they call it, meaning increased solar activity could result in a more dynamic corona, which is the flare that comes out from behind the moon as it covers the sun. And the possibility of the coronal mass ejections, that's what they call that. This eclipse will also last longer than usual, providing a unique opportunity for both the casual observer and scientists to witness and study the event. For those interested in the astrological implications, eclipses are often seen as times of change and reflection. However, it's important to remember that these interpretations are not scientifically supported and should be taken with a grain of salt. If you're planning on observing the eclipse, make sure you use proper eye protection to avoid any harm to your eyesight and enjoy the celestial view. So I'm reading that from sciencenews.org in combination of some other things. But I wanted to talk about that eclipse today because, you know, why not? When we think about the eclipse and some of the things that I've been reading, I just thought it would be kind of fun to play around a little bit because I don't know where you stand on it. And, you know, we have been living in a period of time of incredible theories and mass formation psychosis. So in other words, there is something going on in our world today that is definitely very, very odd. And everybody that I talk to is aware that there is this awakening. Some would say that the enemy has made a move, and I'm talking about Satan and his followers, has made a move in such a way that has been countered and therefore forces the enemy to become more obvious. So in warfare, if there was a sniper that was hiding, the first shot would usually wound or maim or even kill a soldier. But if somebody witnessed where that flash was coming from, then they could identify and bring a tremendous amount of firepower on that one location. But if you never saw the flash, then of course, you're kind of cooked. You don't know where the fire is coming from. This is one of the things that I have said over the years is that the enemy typically overplays his hand. In other words, he's going to do something to reveal himself. Therefore, we can then bring all the force of the kingdom of God to bear upon it. So if he makes a move to affect your health, well, now you can pray. If he makes a move to disparage your name, then you know how to pray. If he makes a move to bring fear and a mass formation psychosis upon the planet, well, then we know he's made his move. And because he's made his move, he begins to panic. And he begins to do more and more obvious things that make it more and more noticeable and therefore able to be defended, prayed against, and all of the different offensive and defensive things that we can do as believers. So, things are going on, folks. Weird things, strange things. Whatever you believe about all these things, whether it be affecting our population, about COVID, about depopulization, all of the things that are happening around us that at one time was just really tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. But now it just seems to be that this stuff is just coming up everywhere we read. I guess the AI that is created to push in your feed, whether it be in Facebook or Instagram, it's going to know what you're interested in. And so it's going to create a feed that follows you. So if you tend to be a person who likes to read about conspiracy theories, like I do from time to time, then you're going to have a stack of feeds that are going to come at you. So it was interesting. I was following up on the eclipse. And of course, you know, I just was interested. You know, I was around in 2017 when the last one came through and I witnessed it. And it was really cool, but it was really interesting. There wasn't as much ginning up the fear and the signs. So let me just get into that. Perhaps you've already read this. So the 2017 eclipse came and swiped through our nation And actually came very close to North Carolina. What we witnessed was a very awesome event. I remember looking at that, and maybe if I have time, I'll tell a little bit about that. But then with this one, it comes from the opposite direction, and it's going to create an X. I also read this, that in United States history, okay, so the history of the United States, there have been 8 major solar eclipses. Okay, so they're lunar eclipses, right? But there have been 8 major solar eclipses. Now, when I say major, does that mean there were other solar eclipses? It kind of nipped the edge of Florida or came through Mexico or whatever. No, they're saying that there were 8 major ones that crossed over the United States going back to the beginning of our country, right? 1776. And so apparently there were 3 that took place during the Revolutionary War. There were 2 that took place during the Civil War. There were, I don't know how many that took place during World War II or Vietnam and other wars. And so now here comes another one. Now, I don't know how they account for the 2017. Was there a war during 2017? I don't know. I think we've almost always been at war. So that's why when you look at these things and you read about them and you're going, you know, you're really kind of pushing the envelope here. And so whatever you have been reading, like I have been reading, then you're going to see that there are some who easily fall into the trap of looking for the signs and wonders in the stars, as Jesus told us was going to happen. Now, are there going to be celestial things that are going to happen? I think so. I heard one Bible scholar, and this was really cool, and this is kind of in contrast to the conspiracy theory side of eclipses. But in contrast, this scholar was saying, the Bible does tell us there are going to be signs and wonders. The sun will turn to blood. At the end, the stars will fall from the sky. We know that in eternity that there will be no sun. Wow, this new heaven and new earth will not be lit by a sun. Where did it go? I don't know. Did it supernova and then there's no more a sun and that's what destroys the whole earth and God has to rebuild a new one? Interesting, right? So we don't know what is going to happen. So getting back to what the scholar said, he said that God has always used celestial signs to communicate major historical paradigm and judgments and blessings through these celestial things. I mean, my goodness, Jesus being born, right? You know, the Son of David's star hanging over that was seen in the east and that led the wise man to find Jesus. So celestial sign and so many more things that have happened. If you read the scripture, what he said though, which is what I think you would really be interested in hearing, is that signs and wonders in the heavens with eclipses, lunar eclipses, so on and so forth, are the only thing that cannot be faked. Well, at least for the most part. I mean, there are technologies that they have that they can fake celestial things like what they call Project Bluebeam. Won't get into that. But for the genuine celestial changes like eclipses and various stars that appear in the sky, all the planets aligning, different things that happen, they have pointed to remarkable events that have had spiritual, biblical, and major shifts in mankind and God doing something on the planet. So there is definitely evidence to indicate that God has used these events to bring forth something new, whether it be a shift in the world and what's going on the planet as far as governments, nations, peoples, or judgments. So for someone to say that this April 8th eclipse is saying that a judgment is coming or portraying, or I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for here, is going to predict a judgment from God, I mean, is not completely out of hand. But at the same time, you know, we can't be fearmongers either. I mean, if God is going to do something, God is going to do something. That is the deal. These cannot be faked. If God is going to make or is going to stick to a timetable, and that makes more sense, doesn't it? It makes more sense that the God who has known all things and has always known it, that everything is providentially and sovereignly planned on the time clock of God, then it makes absolute sense that the planets would be in alignment to what God determined was going to happen when and where. So it absolutely does not take away from God. It takes away any sense of randomness and puts in its place the wisdom of God and the timing of God. So all that to say that, you know, eclipses can predict, foretell something that God is going to do. Now, is he going to do that on April 8th and in 2024? I don't know. Guess we could see. There were a couple other things that this scholar said. He said, most people believe, now most people, I can't reference this, but you'll have to do your own study. But in the Bible, that has apparently since been changed, that the original calendar that the early humans through Christ and during that period of time, that it was a 13-month calendar, which would have put Jesus's birth instead of on December 25th, would have put it on April 1st. And that there were only 28 days in a month and 13 months. And that this whole switching of the calendar is what has really kind of messed up the times and the dates. I mean, if you think about it, if you were the enemy and you wanted to mess up our timing and how to function and know the signs of heaven and live according to the pattern that God has determined things to happen, well, then mess up the calendar, right? I mean, that would be one way to do it. And so in this conversation that I was listening to, this article that I was reading, that our calendar has been screwed up. And that if Jesus was born on April 1st, and that's the way it should be celebrated every year. Now, think about that for a minute. What else happens on April 1st? April Fool's Day. Isn't that the biggest mockery of Jesus that you've ever heard of? Instead of April 1st being the day that our Savior was born, it was switched to December 25th, where the sun was worshiped, the solstice, the winter solstice, and the pagan holidays, and the worship of the sun coming back is where Jesus is celebrated. And of course, it's all completely confused with Santa Claus and all the different things that go on, the bacchanalia that takes place during that time of the year. And yet, April 1st makes more sense, doesn't it, folks? That Jesus was born not in the winter, but in the spring. And on April 1st, which would have been a very powerful time to celebrate not only how God did it, but the Passover that would be coming and would shift during that period of time as well. And one of the other things that this scholar said, and this guy was a Jew who was a Messianic Jew. In other words, a Jew that had given his life to Christ and now is looking at his history, his Bible, his Old Testament, all of these things from an enlightened point of view, from a New Testament point of view. So he's able to look at it and say, wow, there's a lot of things that we as Jews have missed. And that's an incredibly interesting thought, isn't it? And one of the things that he said was that this April 1st, in fact, this April 8th, where this eclipse is going to happen, I don't know how to describe this for you. And if you're interested in more, I can do some research for you because this was in passing. I didn't write down the name of this gentleman who was sharing this. And so you can do your own research to confirm this. But April 8th would have been the exact time that this eclipse would have happened during the time of Christ. In fact, during the time that he was crucified. So this eclipse is happening in exactly the same way. Now follow me. Do you remember what happened in the Easter story? Do you remember what happened as Jesus died there on the cross and he closed his eyes for the first time? Do you remember? I know you do. It says that it became dark, that the sun disappeared, and it became as night. What was going on? Folks, guess what was going on? It was a solar eclipse, according to this man, that this solar eclipse happened at that exact moment that Jesus died. Oh my goodness, this is just incredible. How cool, how amazing. And he says, this April 8th eclipse is actually happening at the exact same time. Now, I don't know how many times this has happened. I don't know if it's even ever happened before. Has it taken this long for this eclipse to end up on at exactly the same time of day, same day that Jesus died on the cross? Well, I mean, this eclipse in the pattern is probably going to happen at the same time of the year whenever it happens, right? I mean, because it's like a big clock. So on one hand, you could say, well, no, it's just coincidence. because it always happens at that time. And Jesus died during that time. Okay, that's cool. But at the same time, we also believe that God is the one to put these things into place in the creation of the universe. And so it does predict, it does give us symbols and signs. When we see this eclipse happen on the 8th, it will remind us of that day that Jesus shouted out and said, "Father, forgive them. It is finished. Now I commit my soul, my spirit into your hands." And then closing his eyes, and then everything thundered, and then it turned dark. Wow. I mean, folks, this is just incredibly cool. And again, we don't want to make too much of it, but it still is amazing to see the pattern and the timing of God. So at very least, when we think of solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, stars lining up, all the different things, all of the history being written in the stars, which it has been, by the way, then God is big. When it says in Scripture that Christ was slain before the foundation of the earth, well, that makes sense because it is written in the stars, that the sun that came from Mary's womb, written in the Virgin in the sky, is Jupiter or Mars or whatever planet that is that's found in Virgo's belly, and then the dragon to come. I mean, it's all written. It's all there. That makes sense when Paul says that, that it happened before the creation of the world because God knew what was going to happen and when it was going to happen. Incredible stuff, folks. So what does it mean? What do we take away from this? Well, apart from the fact that we're just blown away by God and his wondrous wisdom and knowledge and his omnipotence and omniscience, is to be careful that we don't become people of superstition, that we don't become those who would panic, or to even see it as a doomsday type scenario. See, the enemy deals with doomsday. We deal with the day of the Lord. Now, will the day of the Lord be a doomsday for those who don't know him? Absolutely, without question. But for those of us who do know him, it is our celebration. Let's just cut right to the chase. Is this eclipse announcing a judgment on our nation, as some people are saying? It could be. I mean, after all, the 2017 and the 2024 creates an X, and X marks the spot. Are we in the crosshairs of the Lord right now? I don't know, but we will find out, won't we? Because that's the beauty of prophecy and the beauty of signs and wonders. We don't look for them. We don't try to make them happen. We let God do what God is going to do, and we take from every event and every sign and wonder, God moving and showing us his incredible wisdom and his ways. If God is going to judge this nation, then he will do it. Now, can we be like Nineveh and cry out and God would have mercy upon us? Well, he's done it before. He can do it again. In fact, I believe he has done it over and over and over for our nation. If it wasn't for the church, if it wasn't for the strongest group of believers in the world existing on this continent, then I don't know where we would be. I don't know what kind of judgment we would experience. Are we toying with it all over again? Yeah, I think we are. So folks, I'll tell you, when these kind of things happen, we shouldn't panic or freak out or follow the rabbit down the rabbit hole. I think what we need to do is just continue to trust in the Lord. You know, the enemy does overplay his hand in so many ways in trying to deceive and to distract and get us to believe in such weirdness. But what we really should do is just continue to put our hope in God and trust that whatever happens, the gospel is true. It's right. Jesus rose from the dead and he rules and he reigns in a kingdom that will last forever. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And for those who have put our hope in him, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We've been given the paraclete, the helper. We have inside us everything we need in order to prosper. So that is our hope. And then when we die, of course, we're going to be with Jesus forever. So there is no downside to anything that is happening in the earth. We don't have to fear. No. Fear is not in our language. We have hope. We have faith. And we trust that the God of heaven is going to do whatever he wants to do and when he wants to do it. And if we're called to be prophets like Jonah and to warn the world that, you know what, you better repent because God is coming. God is going to bring a judgment. Well, I suppose There's always room for that, but there's always room for repentance too. Amen. In the end, Jonah was surprised that God had mercy because Jonah didn't really know who God was. But in the end, he really, really did. God is a God of mercy. Jesus said, I did not come into this world to judge it, but to save it. And that, of course, is our message as the church today. So I'll tell you what, let's finish. Let's ask God to bless us. Lord, I pray that you would come and just pour out your spirit upon us and that whatever happens in this world, God, we just trust you that what is happening happens according to your time. There are dastardly and evil and overwhelming things that happen in history. Lord, we don't know why. We don't know why the bridge in Baltimore fell down the way it did and the people that were on it died the way they did. Lord, we don't know why there's a war in Ukraine and Russia right now. Lord, we don't know why our nation is struggling with such unbelievable division and just demonic ways of treating the human being and the family. We don't understand all these things, except we're told that they would happen. So Lord, I pray that you continue to help us prosper and have faith and have hope that, Lord, these things are not a premonition of evil. They are only simply playing out of what you said was going to happen to a world that refused to believe in the greatest gift ever given. So Lord, may we continue to tell people about you and Lord, that you would show forth your power with signs and wonders as we approach the day. And we thank you now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you folks. You have a great week and we'll see you next time.